streets of our city, and we look at those kids and we kind of have a disgust in our mouth, and we forget where our kids could be. Come on, somebody. They're up here worshiping the Lord. They're up here magnifying the name of Jesus. Isn't it beautiful? Man, there's a beautiful presence of the Lord in this place. God bless you. You can be seated for a moment. Give honor to pastors, you and your wife. They've treated me better than I deserve. This church is awesome. I love your worship. I love everything about your church. I love your grounds. I love the fact that you need a bigger sanctuary. I love the fact that you need a bigger sanctuary. I love the fact that you need a bigger sanctuary. And if there's any quiet closet millionaires in here, won't you do something about it? The Lord will bless you and give you another million. That's a prophecy. Build a bigger sanctuary and the Lord will fill your coffers back again. I promise. If you just pay attention to the coffers, you're not doing with the money what God wants you to do. The little lady lost her husband. She was all by herself. They were both retired. The cupboard was getting bare. They raised her insurance up, lowered her money. Husband passed and got down to the point where she had nothing in the cupboard. But she was apostolic. She trusted in Jesus. They got to the point where she had nothing to eat. She remembered the Bible said, David quoted it, made the statement that I've never seen his righteous forsaken or seen beggar compared to that. And she went to the window of her two-story house and she opened up her window. As crazy as I was this morning, I might be that emotional tonight. Because I told them as the worship comes, the spirit of revelation come in this place. And just as much as the power of the dancing and shouting is, the power of revelation will take over in your life and give you a revelation of the mighty God in Christ. It can change you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And with that in mind, that lady lifted up that window and stuck her head out. Began to cry out to Jesus. Jesus, I have nothing to eat. Jesus, I'm hungry. And you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You'd be with me always, even until the end. And I'm trusting you. Cried out to the Lord. Later on that day, she opened up the windows again because nothing had happened yet. She cried all the louder. She gave it a second effort. And she cried out, Jesus, I'm hungry. She went to bed hungry that night. She got up. Next morning, to her surprise, as she opened up the front door, there were four bags of groceries. On the front porch. She came out on the front porch. She began to dance. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! You're a prayer answering God. Woo! You saw my petition. You heard my cry. All of a sudden, the neighbor jumped out from behind the bushes. He was an atheist. And he said, ha ha, there is no God. God didn't get those groceries for you. I did. I heard you lift up your window and cry and pray. And you said you were hungry. And I went and got those groceries and put them there. So take that. There is no God. You know what she did? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You supplied the groceries and you made the devil pay for them. He's still paying for groceries. Come on, he's still telling the devil what's going to happen. He's still telling the devil what's going to happen. Oh, come on, somebody. The trouble ain't too big for God. The trouble ain't too big for Jesus. Woo! He'll make the devil pick up the tab. He'll make the we'll pick up the tab. I feel the prophetic moving in this place tonight. I don't mind telling you, I feel like the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I feel like there's going to be gifts of the Spirit in operation tonight. Hallelujah. I claim it in Jesus' name. Stand with me. We'll give you the word of the Lord tonight. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for being a worshiping church. I'll say that again. Thank you for being a worshiping church. Hallelujah. Totally not on my message, but every time a battle was, they sent Judah out before the battle. Judah was the worst. You want to win a battle, start praising the Lord. You want to win a battle, lift up your voice. Well, that ain't the time. Well, that was the time that the disciples did it on the midnight hour. They was just freshly beaten, hallelujah, shackled to the floor, and they began to lift up their voices. They began to magnify the name of the Lord when it wasn't comfortable to do that. And when they did, the place was shaken. Woo! And here's what's cool, more importantly than how I preach, because I like to see souls saved. The Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. When you worship, it ain't just for you. It's for the people that are in prison. Come on, when you worship, when you magnify God, the anointing moves around you in your area, in your proximity, and chains begin to fall because of your worship, because of your praise. Hallelujah. Man, the next time you get ready to cut a rug, and I hope you do, I want you to remember that somebody here might be weighing in the balance whether you worship or not. Somebody might be sitting there with a migraine. They went ahead and come to church, and they can't even think to pray, but you're praising worship. Somebody might be here tonight and not know the mighty name of Jesus, and you begin to praise that name, and His glory fills this place, and they can't deny it now. They can't deny that feeling, that touch upon their life. Aren't you glad Jesus touches us? Aren't you glad He's no respecter of persons? Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad He didn't care where you come from? If you have money or don't have money, what color you are, what nationality you are, He loves you. He said He'd leave the 99, come and get you. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Lord, I apologize. The page already told you. I bought a new towel for the sweat, so I wipe my face a few times and my white cousins just for the light they don't see. Okay? Hallelujah. tonight's their night. Lord, you said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So speak through me and let their ears and hearts receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. As you're seated, say the jingling of the keys. My mom and dad divorced when I was a year old. My mom was an EMT many years. She worked on the ambulance. And I don't know why. My wife, my daughter does it. But they will have a set of keys for their car and have 42 other items on that key ring. You know what I'm talking about? I know where I'm at. Now, as I grew up with my grandpa's, he worked at General Motors at a foundry, and they casted the transmission casings and the engine casings, and he had keys for everything. And as a kid, it was cool because when it was time to leave, we knew because we'd hear the keys coming out. And he had so many of them, as soon as he touched those things, jingle, jingle, jingle. When Mom wanted to leave, I mean, she'd flip her wallet out through the air, she'd flip her comb brush out through the air and everything just to pull them keys because there's so many things on them. And we knew it was time to leave. And it was just so funny to me, the things that I remember as a child growing up. You know, and when we think of keys, we think of openings. Simple, you know. We think of unlocking something. We think of gaining access to something. Last night, a pastor was trying to gracious enough to take me out to eat. I'd been fasting several days this week, fasting Saturday, so I was ready to eat a bear. And he said, I'll take you out to eat. I was like, and then he says, hey, you want to go see the church? And I know because he had keys to everything around here. He went in this door, and he went into that door, and he went into this door, and then he punched a code to this door. And he had access because of his keys. If I take all of your car keys tonight, they're pretty important, aren't they? Come on, keys are very important. Do you remember the janitor at your school as a kid? Remember that great big old hoop he had on his side? I always knew when he was caught. I'm trying to be dirty. But I always realized when somebody had remember that junk that they poured out on it? And here's what you would hear. You hear them keys, and so because he had so many of them, it's just jingle, jingle, jingle. It's like, oh, somebody out there in the hallway. I ain't going out there. And I'd get so, so just, I don't know, just attracted to all those keys that he had at school because I always was, I'm very inquisitive. I probably got in trouble with you. But I wanted to know what was on the other side of that door. I was so inquisitive. Anybody ever go to PE and you wished you had the key to the door that had all them extra kickballs and basketballs and frisbees and all that? That silly teacher would only put one or two of them out there, and the big tough dudes would always get them. He's over here, you got the ball. You wish you had keys so you could get into something. Get in there and get you another ball. Get you another frisbee. Get you another football so you could hit the big dude in the head. So you could get that kind of ball. I told you I got in trouble a couple of times, but anyway. But I remember these things. And when I found out about keys and just intrigued, I just thought it was really cool. How many tonight remember your first house? Somebody preach with me. We're going to have some fun before I hit you with revelation. Come on, I remember my first house. I remember Dad, son, I think you're adult enough now to have a key to the house. Of course, I started laughing under my breath. And he did too. And he said, here's the key. You know what that key gave me access to? Everything behind that door. The kitchen. The restroom. Come on, somebody. My bedroom. Through that door and getting into the garage. I had access to everything in that house. And I want somebody to understand before I get too deep that the Bible says that the Lord gave Peter the keys, plural, to the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to jump ahead in my message right now and just tell somebody. He didn't just open up the door to salvation. He opened up every door in heaven. He opened up every door to healing. He opened up every door, hallelujah, for your finances. He opened up every door to save your family, to save your soul. It wasn't just salvation. He opened up the door for healing for your mind. He opened up the door, hallelujah, to take you away from drugs and alcohol. troubles and problems. He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. He didn't hold anything back. He loves you, cares for you today. But tonight, he would. I want to direct your attention to the keys that the Bible talks about. Outside of our scripture text, and we'll get back to it here in a minute, the key is also spoken of figuratively and symbolically, and the Bible is a sign of authority. The prophet Isaiah because you to go to heaven one of these days. Jesus answers and looks this man named Nicodemus right in the eye. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again." Now this is before Jimmy Carter. To the kingdom of God. Now, I want somebody to catch that tonight. There's no yellow belly, wishy-washy, jelly leg statements there. He flat looked at Nicodemus and said, "Listen here, you're calling me good, and ain't no good but God." And of course, he was God, so he said, but it was his cool. And he said, "Listen, you got to be born of water and spirit, or you're not even going to see. You're not even going to, like up in Indiana, we have a 465 that goes around Indianapolis, and as you drive that circle, you over and see the city." The Lord said, "You're not even going to be able to see this city without being born of water and spirit." Now you get that. Hallelujah. If we continue to read in John chapter 3, you will notice that Nicodemus left Jesus without anything. He didn't receive salvation. He didn't get baptized. He didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost because the keys hadn't been used to unlock the plan of salvation yet. Jesus was prophetically telling Nicodemus what was coming and what was going to happen. We fast forward to the day of Pentecost, and the keys started jingling really hard because Peter's about to use these things that Jesus had given. That revelation that the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against begins jingling. Oh, they started burning in Peter's hands because all of a sudden the Holy Ghost had been poured out in the upper room, and all these crazy 120 was spilled out into a street field full of people there for the day of Pentecost. They had come from all over the then known world, and they were the Jews coming back for their feast day and their happy day and Pentecost and all this good stuff, and all of a sudden they hear a bunch of crazy speaking in other tongues. They were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with it, and they were all filled, not some, not maybe some, and they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak up of them as the Spirit gave them utterance. So Peter begins to preach. He jumps up on this, some kind of a pedestal or on some type of a platform, and he looks at all them men, and he proclaims to them, "They're not drunk as you suppose. It's just the third hour of the day, like you said. Listen, but this is that which is spoken of back in the Old Testament. You know the Old Testament you're supposed to know. You know the Torah you're supposed to have studied and read. Oh, that in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. This is that is what you're experiencing right here." And then he busts them right in the mouth. "You killed the Messiah. You crucified your king. You put him in the grave. He came. He fulfilled every prophecy. He did everything he said he was going to do. And you destroyed him." All of a sudden their heads washed away. His blood covers you. Come on, somebody. You remember that night? You remember that day you went down in the name of Jesus and you come up a brand new creature in Christ Jesus? It was because Peter used those keys. It was because he unlocked that on the day of Pentecost. It's because he gave us those three easy steps. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Peter finally got to use those keys. He took those keys out. He put them to use. And the fulfillment, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, if you would allow me, the fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus gave to Nicodemus in John 3:5 was just realized in Acts 2:38. For they were born of water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 And the keys started jingling again in Acts chapter 10. And oh, what a significant day it was for you and I that those keys began to jingle in Acts chapter 10. Because this is when the Lord opened it up to the Gentiles. This is when the Lord told Peter in a dream what to do and where to go and how to do it. And he sent him to a man's house. And he began to preach the word of God in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. And while Peter preached to them, while Peter spoke the words that Jesus was the Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. The Holy Ghost has been falling ever since we got in this building tonight. The Holy Ghost has been falling. Will you catch it? Will you receive it? Will you allow it to come into your spirit tonight? And they of the circumcision which believe were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you a question tonight. Some of you, maybe not in this room, but in this community, said, I've got the Holy Ghost. And I've asked you, and I'll say to you time and time again, have you spoken with other tongues? They'll say, well, I just don't believe that's it. Well, let me tell you what Peter said, and all the people that came with him. He said, they got the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. The evidence that you're overflowing with God's presence is the fact that the most unruly member of your body will be submitted and succumb. It'll spring up like a well of living water, and it will come out of your mouth, and you'll speak in other tongues as God's Spirit gives you the utterance to speak that tongue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. And then Peter looked right at him in their face and said, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? As well as we. I think we ought to give the Lord praise right now for the fact that us Gentiles can have the Holy Ghost, that us Gentiles could be washed in the blood, defied by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Aren't you glad he just didn't leave you in your sin? Aren't you glad that he found you at the street address you live at? Aren't you glad he's no respecter of persons tonight? Come on, my great-grandpa died of black lung. He worked in the coal mines. Get into it Monday night, but my mom was an alcoholic. My mom was married 5 times. I lived a rough childhood and a rough life. Now you know why I'm as crazy for Jesus as I am, because when I needed him the most, he swooped in and saved me. I hear the keys jingling in this place tonight. I hear the keys starting to jingle in this place tonight. I feel the jingling of the keys starting to jingle in this place tonight. Maybe seated for us personally. In the United States of America, the keys started jingling again in 1901 in Topeka, Kansas, when God poured out the Holy Ghost upon a 30-year-old Bible college student named Agnes Osman. And she began for the very first time in the United States of America to speak with other tongues as God's Spirit gave her the came to 1501 13th Street in Bedford, Indiana, and he found a broken, tore up little 9-year-old boy whose mom was drugged out, whose mom was laying in the floor drunk most night, who I had to fix my own dinner, and me and my brother would try to make it. He found me. He came to me, and he jingled the keys. The keys began to jingle again in that same year in July when I went to the church camp, and it's probably 115 degrees in the shade, and it was before they had air conditioners, and they wouldn't let us bring our fans. I rebuked them in Jesus. I need a fan right now. And I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And a no one from Nowheresville began to speak in a heavenly language with a drug-infested family. I'm not trying to be dirty or ugly, but my uncle lived with us. He was a homosexual. He's married to a man. I had other uncles on the other side of the house that were growing pot and marijuana and all the stuff in their closets with purple lights. Jesus walked into my bedroom and said, I'll take you. I'll jingle some keys in front of your face. You see, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Hallelujah. I chose the calling. I chose the calling. I chose the calling tonight. I answered the jingling of the keys. My God, I feel my help coming right now. Oh, I feel the witness of the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to get a revelation of the mighty God in Christ tonight. Can I tell somebody tonight the keys are still jingling in Madisonville? The keys are still jingling in your city tonight. The keys are still jingling in your city tonight. Oh, there's hungry people. Oh, there's hungry people. Oh, there's hungry, tormented people that need Jesus. Take advantage of the door? Will you take advantage of the keys that have been jingled in front of you tonight? Will you lay aside what your mama or your grandpa, your great-grandpa, your side of the family's done? Let me elaborate. I was very good at basketball. Believe it or not, I could do 360 dunks. I played with Damon. And the football coach came and said, please be on the team. The swimming coach came and said, come on, you're athletic. Be on the team. And it was like every orifice and door in hell opened up against me because I tried to stand for what was right. I'll give you a purpose greater than any NBA player. I'll give you a purpose greater than any NHL player, any NFL player, MLB player. I'll give you a purpose greater than you can imagine. People may not think much about you. People might not say much or think much about you, but you'll be winning souls. You'll be snatching somebody from hell. You'll be changing lives for the better. Somebody needs to answer the tingling of the keys tonight. before you leave this place tonight, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Jesus wants somebody to make up in your mind tonight. You need to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost before you leave this place. Devil's on the run tonight. The truth has been spoken to you the best I know how. The baptismal waters are ready. This altar's open right now. If you need the Holy Ghost, please come. If you want to be baptized in Jesus' name for your sins to be washed away, please come. Before I quit, I want to read one more set of scriptures. Because I told you, Jesus does things decently and in order. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning in the Lord or His Word. The Word's forever settled in heaven. It doesn't change. Because times change does not mean the Bible changed. Okay? And I believe this church believes that. If you could put up Revelations 20, 11 through 15, I want to show you something. Jesus said that you must be born again to go to heaven. You've got to be born of water and the Spirit. He chose Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost and gave him the power with those keys to open up the plan of salvation. When you are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, your name gets written down in God's favorite book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. He pencils your name in. This is a completely different Bible study. If you want to know more, come see me tonight as we're eating barbecue. The Bible says that you have the power to have Him erase your name out of that book. There ain't no such thing as once saved, always saved. Once loved, always loved. Once a child of God, always a child of God, but you can walk away. You can digress. John the Revelator said, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them to hide, for them to go. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, whether they had adhered to the books or not. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Here's the most important line in the Bible for you and I. On that great white throne judgment, when we stand before God Almighty, nothing will be hidden. He says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. for us. There ain't no excuse for us. It might be time to pick up the book. It might be time to dig into this book and find out what thus saith the Word of God. It might be time to come to Bible study. It might be time to grab a hold of one of the elders and say, hey, can you tell me a little bit more about what this means? Now, these altars are open. I am not one, nor is God, that will force you to come. He is a perfect gentleman. But the keys are jingling tonight. The plan of salvation has been opened to you. It's here. Are you ready? Stand with us tonight. Stand with us tonight.